I want to base what I have to say to you for the remainder of the meeting on those two words recorded in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. They're found in the middle of the verse. Felix trembled. What a statement these words contain. Just two brief words. Felix trembled. What an occurrence this was, given who the person was and the circumstances in which the fear laid hold upon him, but shook him and caused him, as the verse says, to tremble. It is the desire of every preacher of the gospel that there would be that sobriety of mind, that seriousness of attention to listen to the word of God being expounded. And whenever the gospel of Christ is preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, God works. He works in hearts and lives. He worked in the heart of this man, Felix. And this is what we desire in this age of flippancy and lightness and frivolousness in Christian work. So tonight, for the remainder of our meeting, I want us to consider these words, Felix trembled. I want to talk to you about the trembling of Felix. Now, to more fully understand the import of the experience to this man, this trembling that he went through, this occurrence in his life on that particular day, there are several things we have to observe. So I would ask that you would listen very tentatively, and we will be as brief as it's possible to be dealing with the subject. With regard to the trembling of Felix, we need to notice the setting of this occurrence, something of the background. We did not have time to read it, and really we need to read from chapter 21 right through to where we are now in chapter 24 to get the grasp. But I think if I fill you in from the beginning of chapter 24, it'll give you a good idea of the situation of Paul here. Let me say that Paul is a major figure in all of this and what has been taking place. Paul was a prominent Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a learned man in his theology of the day. But he got wonderfully converted, became a Christian, and God used him in a marvelous way to lighten the minds of many people, Gentiles and Jews alike, although his main ministry was among the Gentiles. But he was seen in the temple in Acts chapter 21, and certain Jews from Asia had heard about Paul, and they felt that he was not the real thing. They raised an outcry about him, and it resulted in Paul almost losing his life. Only the chief captain, Lysias, of the Romans rescued him. And he wondered what it was all about, but he soon found out. And then he had him apprehended while the Jewish council, the Jewish Sanhedrin, wanted to quiz Paul according to their law. Well, Paul had a nephew about Jerusalem, the son of his sister, and he overheard that there were 40 men had bonded themselves together, bound themselves together, not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. And so he ran quickly. He had access to Paul in prison, told Paul what had happened. Paul called for one of the security officers, and he took this boy to the chief captain, and the young fellow told the chief captain what was happening, and the chief captain acted very promptly and got him with a large delegation of soldiers, a few hundred soldiers, to bring him down to Caesarea to go to Felix the governor. And so at the beginning of chapter 24, if you just cast your eyes back, We read, and after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. So Felix listened to all of this. And then he beckoned to Paul in the 11th verse, and verse 10. And Paul began to conduct his defense. And whenever Paul had reached a certain part in his defense, this is where Felix trembled. So you have, first of all, the situation of Paul. Paul, a prisoner here, and the Jewish leaders coming down to lay false charges against the apostle, and using the skills of an orator who was presenting their case. But then there is the action of Felix. Felix had a fair idea of what was going on, as the whole passage will reveal in a tacit way. And so he gives Paul the opportunity to speak for himself, and you have the record of that from verse 10 onward. And so at this particular time, this invitation is given. Paul took it up. There was the interruption of the hearing by Felix, and he says, when Lysias the chief captain comes down, I'll hear more about this. And then something else happened. There was no sign of Lysias coming down at all. It may be that Felix just wanted a break away from it. But here's the interesting thing. And it happened just a few days later. It's whenever we broke into our reading in verse 24. Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And it was in response to what Paul was telling him about the faith in Christ that this man trembled. Now here's an interesting truth, ladies and gentlemen and young people. The providence of God was at work here. Paul and Felix moved in different circles altogether. Felix, as we'll see in a moment, was a highly positioned Roman official, a Gentile. Paul was formerly a Jew, but now he's the apostle to the Gentiles. His circles are not political or even civic. His circles are bringing the gospel to the perishing masses of the world. And by God's providential ordering and arranging, both of these men have come together in circumstances that might never have been thought possible. And as a result, Felix is trembling. I wonder, is God's providence working in your life tonight? In you being here to listen to the testimony, to the singing, to the preaching of the word now? Maybe this time last week you never expected to be here, but you have come. I remember reading a long time ago, and this happened even further back than then, there was an evangelist from England preaching in Dublin. And there was a businessman from England whose work took him to Dublin. And he was a bit lonely at night time. And he was walking down the street one evening, and he saw a big notice board in a certain building announcing gospel meetings with this evangelist. He said, oh, he says, that might be somewhere for me to go at nights while I'm here in this business. So he said, I'll go tomorrow night. We'll be too late to go now. And he did go the next night. And he went the next night. And he came under the sound of God's word, and he felt the power of God upon him, convicting him. And he stayed behind to talk to the preacher, and the preacher led him to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And here's something remarkable. Whenever they were getting their names, and the evangelist was getting the name businessman, he learned that the businessman, and the businessman learned that the evangelists were neighbors separated by a few streets in one of the parts of London. The providence of God brought them together in Dublin, far away from their home. And they'd never even seen each other that you knew of whenever they resided in those streets in that area of London. Not chance, not accidental, not coincidence. And you're here tonight under the sound of God's word and the providential arrangement of God in this meeting. Make good use of it, ladies and gentlemen and young people. That was the setting in which we see the trembling of Felix. But I want you to notice, secondly, the singularity of this occurrence, of his trembling. And the singularity lies in this. The person who experienced this trembling, Felix, I've said that he was a high official in the Roman Empire. He was the governor of Judea. You remember another well-known governor in Judea, those of you who have some familiarity with the Bible, his name was Pontius Pilate, the procurator, the governor. You might say, if we were using political terms of today, he was the secretary of state for the Roman Empire, based in Rome, only he was based here in Judea. The highest man in the land politically. And this is the man now that's trembling. He's got his wife with him. This woman was a Jewess. She had heard of the Christian way. If you read the book of Acts, you find that the Christian life was on several occasions called the way. And she wanted to hear more about it because everywhere, as it was called, this sect was evil spoken of, spoken against. And she wanted to hear more. And Agrippa or Felix wanted to hear more. So she's accompanying her husband and they're now listening to Paul. Now governors don't normally tremble. Governors don't have any fear over prisoners. They're the people that cause others to tremble because of what might happen to these other people. The governor is only to say the word and it'll be carried out. But this man's trembling. This is the person, one of great dignity, a great dignitary of the Roman Empire, one of the nobility, with much authority behind him. This is most unusual. This is singular. This is unique. This man trembling before a prisoner. But notice not only the person that's trembling here to see the significance of this. But notice the particulars that surround this occurrence. It's a prisoner that's speaking that has caused this man to tremble. A man whose own life is in danger because of alleged crimes against the Jewish religion. But he's not trembling. No, he has the peace of God that passeth all understanding to keep his heart and mind. He's not trembling. He's standing there just conducting his defense, and now he's explaining the gospel to Felix and to his wife. But it's the governor who's shaking with fear. What's happening? Has Paul drawn a dagger from his garment? And Felix sees it. And he fears that something's going to happen to him. Does he see Paul lunging forward to strike him with that dagger? Not at all. Has he got word from one of his officials that there's an invading army on his shores with a large host? Not at all. It's nothing that's physical. Rather, it's something that's verbal that is bringing this fear into his life. It's the Apostle Paul preaching the word of God. And it's causing this man to shake with fear. Felix tremble. I'm wondering tonight, I say this to you, I think you could concur with this. It's usual for celebrities or people who are outstanding in their field, who have this world at their feet in that particular field, to be most unhappy, to be most miserable, to be distressed, and to be afraid. Am I speaking to somebody here tonight? And you have everything going for you, if I can put it that way, that you can see. And yet, There's fear and misery and unhappiness in your life. And you're concerned right now in this gospel service. God is dealing with you. Now let's come very quickly and notice in the third place the stimulus to the trembling of Felix. We've seen the setting. We've seen the significance. What has caused this? Well, look at verse 25. This is concerning Paul. As he reasoned, mark that word reasoned, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. The preaching of Paul here, notice the content. He's reasoning of righteousness. This is the one thing that was conspicuous by its absence in the life of this man, Felix. The historians write about him. They say he lured this woman, Drusilla, away from another husband, and he took her. They say that he was given to much tyranny. They say that he was sensual and indulgent, overindulgent, in indulging the appetites of the flesh. Now, he had good points. Paul acknowledged that whenever he was speaking. But he was basically a man of the world, a man who satisfied his own base appetites. And Paul is now speaking to him about righteousness, the righteousness of God, the righteousness that God requires of every one of us, the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ obtained for guilty sinners when he lived under the law of God for those 33 years, whenever he obtained a righteousness for us, when he magnified the law and made it honorable, and then he went to the cross there in Calvary, laid down his life for ransom for the many, shed his precious blood, made atonement for our sins, rose again from the dead. This is the message that Paul is preaching, that there's a righteousness that every one of us needs, and it can be found in the person and work and what the Lord is gifting to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Men and women and young people, you and I need that righteousness. You and I are not righteous of ourselves. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whenever Felix hears that, and Paul's getting to his conscience, and whenever Felix thinks about the life that he's been living, he's trembling. But notice something else with regard to the content of this message. And that is, he not only reasons of righteousness, but he reasons of temperance. Now, temperance here in the Bible is not what we understand in the modern day usage of abstinence from alcohol. It used to be temperance societies, and they did as good a work as they possibly could, and their intent was honorable. But it's not that kind of temperance, but it takes that in. The word temperance here means self-restraint, self-control. It means disciplining your passions and lusts. And as Paul took that up as the next part of a sermon, Felix was really feeling the heat around his collar. And that is not to say that Paul was going out of his way to be offensive. This man sent to hear the faith concerning Christ, and Paul was just being relevant and appropriate to the situation that he found himself in. And why we just have the bare outline here of righteousness and temperance, you can be sure that Paul brought it in related to the cross of Christ, to the blood of the Savior, to the Lord Jesus and his saving work. But there was more to come. He not only reasoned of righteousness and temperance, but judgment to come. That would scare anybody. In fact, if that doesn't make you scared, there's something that's not right about you. To think that the day will come, as the Bible says. Listen to what Paul said when he was at Athens, far away from where he is in Caesarea. He says, God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. That means to turn away from your sin. And he says, because he hath appointed a day, God has appointed a day, people, wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And we read in another place that Christ has been ordained to be the judge of quick and dead. I want very quickly to read you just a few verses from the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 to 15. And I want you, if you haven't got a Bible, to listen carefully to it. This is what John sees in vision. Revelation 20 verse 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The last great judgment. Not make you tremble to think that if you live your life in rejection of Christ, when the end comes and God summons you to himself, that you're going to go through this forever. No wonder he trembled. I remember many years ago when I was a city missionary off the Shankill Road. It was a very well-known, famous place in Belfast called the Coalmen's Mission. Many, many people were converted in those Saturday night meetings. In fact, whenever the old Raven Hill Church was being enlarged, Dr. Paisley brought his congregation there for their Sunday services for a number of weeks and months. But at any rate, I went down one Saturday night because I'd heard that Pastor William Mullen, who was the famous minister of Ergon Baptist Church many years ago, was preaching. And he was actually preaching on this passage that I read to you there, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And he was describing that great judgment day and the terrors associated with it. And I noticed to his right hand, sitting down in like a row of seats, several rows of seats over to the right of the preacher, there was this man. There was a commotion and two or three people looked round and one or two of the workers in the mission went to him. The man was in a terrible state and he cried out, "I'm not ready. I need to be saved. Oh, I need to be saved." And they got him out quietly into another room. Mr. Mullen went on preaching, went on bringing the word of God, went in to see him. That man in his distraught state after the service was over, shaking and affrighted because he was not prepared for that awful day of judgment. Men and women, boys and girls, young people, you've got to be prepared. And you would do well to tremble tonight if you're not a Christian, because death could come at any time. You don't have to be old. One last thing I want you to notice after I say this. We've looked at the content of his preaching, but look at the character of it. I said that Paul didn't go out of the way to be offensive. Notice verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Paul was putting forward the gospel in a logical, plain, gracious, but powerful way, showing conclusively that this was God's standard and these were God's requirements and this was the only way that men could be saved through Christ and his righteousness and his glorious salvation. We sought tonight to explain the passage to you, to bring you to the cross, to bring you to Christ, to warn you of this awful rejection of him, the awful trembling that will go right into eternity if you die without the Savior. But I have one last thing to say. Not only have we noticed the setting of this occurrence, this trembling of this Roman man, this dignitary, this mighty procurator and governor, we've seen not only the significance of him trembling, and we've seen the thing that caused it, the stimulus that prompted this trembling, Paul's preaching. But will you listen carefully for a few more minutes while I show you the sadness of it? Terrible sad. Look at verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time." What's he saying? He's made a decision here. He says, "Paul, go back to your quarters. Take him back to his place of confinement." This man was shaken. He didn't want to carry on this hearing any longer. He couldn't stand before the apostle. He made a decision. And that decision amounted to this. He was rejecting the message of God's word. He was rejecting the gospel of Christ. And he was rejecting Christ. Whereas if only he had been like his underling, the Philippian jailer, whenever he realized that Paul and Silas were no ordinary men or no ordinary prisoners, and there was an earthquake in the prison, and he thought all the prisoners were gone, the Bible says that Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And the man sprang in, trembling, it is said, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him the gospel, and the man got saved and his family that night. Oh, trembling, fear, concern that went in the right direction. He trusted Christ. May your fear, may your concern lead you not away from the Lord Jesus Christ, but lead you to him, to trust him as your Savior. Not only the decision he made, that's sad, but the procrastination he displayed. He says, "When I have a convenient season, I'll call to you. When it suits me. When I'm not too busy." Oh, what an excuse. It amounted to this. He procrastinated. He put it off to what he thought would be a better time. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you're concerned, but you're going to put it off. You're not going to trust Christ tonight. Going to try to work things out in your mind and lose the Spirit's conviction by your delay. Oriah Torrey tells the story of one of his missions. There was a tent put up. He ministered in Chicago, and they put gospel tents up in different parts of that large city. And he said there was a man, one of his men was preaching one night, and there were two unsaved men came in among others, but these two men waited behind. Both were concerned. One of them got wonderfully converted. And Torrey said, the preacher said, "And what about you, friend?" He says, "Well," he said, "I know it's the right thing to do, but," he said, "I'll come back on Sunday night and I'll settle it then." And the man says, "What?" He said, "It's dangerous to delay." And the man says, "Do you think that God wouldn't give me another opportunity?" He says, "I know that I should be saved, but I'll leave it on Sunday night. I'll come back on Sunday night." So the two men left, and they were driving the coach they were in. And the man who was procrastinating, who did not get saved, he said to his friend, "Pull in here and we'll go in for it." He says, "No," he says, "I've become a Christian tonight." And he says, I don't need to go to these places now. He says, "Well, I need to go in." He says, "You take the coach on up the town and wait a few minutes and back for me and I'll be out and you can take me home." The man took his time going up and he came back a short while later. He waited. There's no sign of the man. And he got off the coach He went into the saloon, public house, probably called these days, whatever. Looked around, there was no sign of him. And he walked down the street a bit, and there were a large billboard fence, and he heard the groans behind the fence. And very quickly he ran round the back and he saw his friend there. He had been stabbed. And he was dying. He'd lost a lot of blood. They got him to one of the hospitals in Chicago. But he never gained consciousness. Saturday night came. Sunday night came. Monday came. Monday afternoon, he died. He passed into God's eternity. Moved, concerned on Friday night, but thought he had time. He procrastinated. He put it off to his doom. Felix trembled. The decision he made, so sad. The procrastination he displayed, so sad. The corruption he practiced. Notice verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. He's not trembling now. He has lost all of that feeling and fear that came as a result of the Spirit's work. He has hardened his heart. He's trying to bribe the prisoner now. And notice what it says. It says, he hoped that money should have been given of him, of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. They talked again. Paul preached again. But there was no trembling. You might come to church some other time, friend. You might go somewhere else and you may hear the same message. But it may never have the effect that it's having on you tonight. And you will go from that trembling into a life that's impervious to the gospel, become gospel hardened, and die in your sins, and go to hell. And what's more, he abandoned Paul to the Jews. Notice verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Those good feelings that he had earlier, that day that Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, those good feelings had long since evaporated. That trembling had long since stopped. And we never read of Felix again. Will you accept the warning tonight? Hear the warning voice? Make the Lord your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. The trembling of Felix, the concern of you, act upon it. Do the right thing. Go to Christ now. Bow at his feet. Trust him as your Savior. And be prepared for death and for eternity. And more than that, have a great life to live from tonight until you die. Christian life is not something miserable to be endured. It's to be enjoyed. And you can enjoy it if you'll turn from your sin and trust Christ now.